down of weapons and to abandon every desire for domination and power. I'm Veronica Dudo with EWTN News Nightly. Follow us on social media and join us tonight.
Hello, Houston. Happy Easter to you. Happy Monday. It is Easter Monday here. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He is risen. It is April the 6th in the year of our Lord, 2026, and you are listening to Catholic Lunch Break. This is the weekly program where we catch up with all things Catholic in the greater Houston area. My name is Wyatt Goolsby. I'm the executive director of this radio station, KSHJ AM 1430. I mentioned it is Easter Monday. This is the Easter season. A reminder that Easter isn't just one day, it is a season that leads all the way up to Pentecost. Here's what's on the schedule for today's program. A message from His Excellency, Archbishop Joe Vasquez, to the faithful during this Easter season. Also on the program, we'll talk more in detail about the Easter season. Father Bart Reynolds will join us for our regular Smells and Bells segment discussing the liturgical calendar. And we love to talk about Catholic education on this program, including many of our local Catholic schools. Today, we'll talk about St. Pius X High School. They're getting ready for their big gala, so we'll talk with Beth and Sean Jess, who are being honored for their work in the local Catholic community. Finally, my colleague Zach Allen will get us up to speed on our upcoming prayer breakfast in Katy and about our GRN Academy, an online series of classes aimed at helping you grow in your Catholic faith and spirituality. Before all that, though, here on this program, we want to begin as we always do in prayer. So if you join me now, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thine intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the first year after the election of Pope Leo, many Catholic churches across America are welcoming their highest number of new Catholics in recent years. That includes the Archdiocese of Galveston, Houston, who did very well, welcomed nearly 3,000 new Catholics this year. On Easter Sunday, Archbishop Joe Vasquez released a video welcoming those who are new to the church.
For the first time, this is the beginning of a new life for them and for us too, as we renew our baptismal promises. As we gather with friends and family, I pray that the light of the risen Christ will fill our hearts with joy. May this joy move us to be witnesses of the resurrection to all those we encounter. Know that I will pray for you throughout this Easter season, asking God to strengthen your Catholic faith and your love for the Eucharist. I ask you to pray for me, that I may be a good shepherd of the Archdiocese of Galveston-Houston.
And our thanks to the Archdiocese of Galveston-Houston for providing that audio clip, and a very happy Easter to all of those new to the church. If you have a love for sacred art, mark your calendar for this Saturday, April 11th. Sacred Art Live will be held on the campus of Cathedral High School in Houston. Sacred Art Live seeks to showcase art from living artists and give the public the opportunity to view and purchase original works, as well as prints and merchandise that are testaments to the good, true, and beautiful. Registration is required, as you need to choose of one of two different times to attend. For all the details on Sacred Art Live this upcoming Saturday, you can visit Cathedral High School's website. It's at cathedral-hs.org, and you can click on events. Again, that website is cathedral-hs.org, and look for Sacred Art Live under events. I will be there during the noon hour, interviewing some of those Catholic artists live on the air to talk about how their faith inspires their work. So, if you tune into this radio station, AM 1430 KSHJ, you can listen live during the noon hour this Saturday, April the 11th. Fullness of Truth is hosting its Summer Catholic Family Conference June the 5th through the 7th. The Catholic Culture Revival 3.0 will be held at the Kalahari Resort and Convention Center in Round Rock, Texas. Conference speakers include Father Chad Ripperger, Kyle Clement, Jennifer Baugh, and Jesse Romero. There will also be a Saturday youth track and family-friendly activities. There's even a comedy show with Catholic convert Shane Smith. Conference registration and hotel information can be found on their website, fullnessoftruth.org. That's fullnessoftruth.org. We appreciate Fullness of Truth being an underwriter of this radio station. Tickets are now on sale for the 9th Annual Priests vs. Seminarians basketball game. The annual game raises money for seminarians in the Archdiocese of Galveston-Houston. This year, the game is set Friday, April 17th at Rice University. Tickets can be purchased through the Houston Vocations website. That's HoustonVocations.com. In addition, we at KSHJ plan to broadcast the game once again right here on the radio station, AM 1430. My thanks to my colleague David Magianis. David is helping spearhead our efforts for broadcasting the game that evening, again, Friday, April 17th. So if you can't make it in person, you can always listen right here on AM 1430 KSHJ. This is the last chance to sign up for classes for the GRN Academy. If you are looking for a way to grow in your Catholic faith, GRN Academy might be exactly what you're looking for. Joining us here on Catholic Lunch Break is my colleague, Zach Allen. He is the general manager of this radio station, KSHJ. He's here to talk to us about GRN Academy, as well as the upcoming prayer breakfast in Katy. Zach, thanks so much for all your help in producing this program and for joining us here on the air.
Thank you, Wyatt. It's great to be with you.
Yeah, so we got the upcoming GRN Academy. For people who are unfamiliar with what that is, it's really a unique series of classes that you can't get anywhere else, and kind of helps to enlighten you both, I guess, intellectually and spiritually.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity for people that want to dive a little bit deeper. It's not meant to be university level or if you're looking for a master's degree, but these are classes that are inviting people to jump into a community, dive deeper into a particular topic, spend 7 weeks diving in, seeing what they can get out of it, and having direct contact to the instructor as well. So that's really an opportunity for people that are listening. If they feel nudged by the Holy Spirit, they want to dive into a particular topic, to jump in. It's 7 weeks long. They're live, interactive courses. The instructor's live on Zoom with you, along with all your classmates, and it's a really great opportunity. So we've done two sessions so far, one in the fall. We just finished up our first spring session just a couple weeks ago, and this next week we'll kick off the second spring session. If anybody's interested in registering for that, they can do it at the website, grnonline.com. You can just click on the tab Academy at the top, or you can go right to the registration page, the GRN Academy. It's grnonline.com/academy. It'll take you right to that page. We've got some great instructors this time. Monsignor Pope's teaching a course on Revelation. Dave Palmer is teaching another course on joy, again, based on the teachings of St. Thomas Aquinas. Julie Carrick is actually teaching a couple of classes. One will be on living our Catholic creed, which is exciting. She's done parish missions about that all over the country. And then also, she's teaching a class called We Share Our Story, which she did teach in the first spring session and had great reviews from the people in the course. And then I'll also be leading a course this time called Holy Habits, and we're just focusing on small ways you can implement into your life weekly, monthly, throughout the year that can help you grow in your holiness, in your family life, in your personal life, in your prayer life, things like that, things that the church offers us, and things that the saints have established through the years, and also things that I've seen families do, you know, through the last 10 years or so when I was working in education. Many families out there have great habits that they've instilled for themselves, for their children, and things like that that you can do as well.
That's a good point, Zach. There, we can always grow in our holy habits. There's always ideas out there. So I'm glad that you're going to be hosting a class, you know, putting those ideas out there, because sometimes we just need some good holy ideas and then implementing those in our lives as well. So Zach, then remind me the timeline here. When is the last time to sign up, and then when do the classes begin?
Yeah, so signups are ongoing right now and will stay alive until next week. Classes start next week. As we mentioned, it's going to be, the classes are once a week for 7 weeks straight. So depending on the day of the week that that particular class is offered, you could register up until that day next week. So Dave's class, for instance, starts on Monday. So he's the very first class. And then after that, we've got Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday. Classes will be offered different days of the week. But yeah, check that website out, grnonline.com/academy. You can see the different course titles. You can see the videos of the instructors introducing themselves and what the course is about. And you can also register right there and make sure that that time works for you. However, if there's a particular topic that you're interested in and the time does not work for 7 straight weeks, every class will be recorded and you'll have an opportunity to see the recording throughout the time frame of the class. So you don't have to necessarily attend every single class live to get all the information. We've got an online system that works for that. It's very easy to use, and we'll also offer some training if you need that.
Very good. Excellent. So again, grnonline.com, and look for Academy on that one. So Zach, in addition to that, we've got another upcoming event during this month, the month of April. We have our next prayer breakfast, which is going to be held in Katy. Tell us about that one.
Yeah, so next Tuesday, April 14th, we'll have our next Catholic prayer breakfast. We'll be back out at Mi Pueblito Restaurant in Katy. If you type in Mi Pueblito Restaurant Katy, it'll come right up on your map there. And looking forward to it, Dr. Chinelo Okoye is going to give us a talk on raising her two twins, her twins that had autism or have autism, and it's Autism Awareness Month. And so she's going to talk about the experience of raising them as a Catholic in a Catholic home and as a family practitioner as well. She can give the advice from a doctor's perspective. And so it'll be a great talk. Looking forward to hearing that. Should be a great gathering. We usually have, between 30 to 40 people coming to our prayer breakfast. So it's a nice opportunity to meet people, enjoy breakfast. Tickets are only $10 for a delicious breakfast and a talk. And again, you can register for that either online. You can also do it at the door. Ideally, we'd love for everybody to do it online ahead of time so we know how many are coming, so we can kind of plan the seating and things like that. But you can register for that at our website. Go to grnonline.com. Just click on events and then click on prayer breakfast, and then the link will be right there for you to join the Houston one. I did send out a constant contact about that last week. It's on our Facebook page right now if you want to check that out. However you would like to go get your tickets. But we'd love to have you out there at 7 to 9 a.m. next Tuesday morning at Mi Pueblito Restaurant in Katy.
And Mi Pueblito is such a nice restaurant. I know the last time we were there for the last Katy prayer breakfast, a lot of people really enjoyed being there at that particular location. So, yeah, just want to reiterate Mi Pueblito in Katy. And again, like you said, Tuesday, April 14th. So I know that's going to be another fantastic gathering among local faithful. So really appreciate that. Again, all that's on our website as well. So Zach Allen, General Manager, KSHJ, thanks for that update. We appreciate it, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Wyatt.
And we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, Father Bart Reynolds will join us to talk about the Easter season as well as upcoming Divine Mercy Sunday. So stay with us. You are listening to Catholic Lunch Break here on AM 1430.
If you are pregnant or worried you might be pregnant and don't know where to turn, we want to help. At Loving Choice Catholic Pregnancy Help Center, we offer free pregnancy tests and ultrasounds. And most importantly, the caring volunteers at Loving Choice will listen to you and provide compassionate options to help put you at ease. You are not alone. We are here for you every step of this journey. For more information, visit loving-choice.org. That's loving-choice.org.
Mr. Potty Plumbing is a proud sponsor of this radio station, AM 1430. Paul and Dorinda Obsta are the owners of Mr. Potty Plumbing and attend Mass at St. Bartholomew in Katy. Mr. Potty provides plumbing services for the Katy, Sugarland, Cypress, and surrounding areas. Their slogan is, "When your plumbing is naughty, call Mr. Potty." Their website is callmrpotty.com. That's callmrpotty.com.
Have you taken account of your spiritual life lately? Hopefully listening to the GRN helps you do that. Joel Matthews here, partner with Turlington & Matthews. We're located in Katy, Texas, and we are proud supporters of KSHJ AM 1430. As certified public accountants, we provide comprehensive financial services to individuals, small and medium-sized businesses, and other agencies. Our website is www.tmcpafirm.com. That's www.tmcpafirm.com. May God bless you.
Welcome back to Catholic Lunch Break. This is the weekly program where we catch up with all things Catholic in the greater Houston area. This is Wyatt Goolsbee with you here, executive director of this radio station, KSHJ AM 1430. Friends and families across the nation and the world gathered for Easter Sunday celebrations. We as Catholics know that the Easter season is much more than just a single day. So to unpack the Easter season and tell us all about that in our monthly segment, we call Smells and Bells. Join us on the program to talk more about that, the Easter season, is Father Bart Reynolds. He is the pastor of St. Michael the Archangel, which is located in the Galleria area of Houston. Father Bart, welcome back to KSHJ Studio. Always good to have you here, sir.
Thank you, Wyatt. Happy Easter
to you. Happy Easter to you as well. So I want to start with kind of just unpacking, we talk about Easter, what we mean by that, because so often in just our general secular culture, when we think about Easter, it's usually limited to just one Sunday, which is past Sunday. But for us, like I was saying before, we know that, of course, Easter, lasts a lot longer than that.
Well, Easter is both a day,
an octave or a week,
okay,
and a season of 50 days. So we celebrated Easter, obviously, yesterday with pomp and circumstance, I'm sure, in everyone's parish, beginning really with Easter Vigil. And then we continue for 8 days throughout the octave. You know, there are two feast days in the year, Christmas and Easter, that have an octave. And it's the church telling us that one day is not enough. We need to stretch it out for a week. There's enough in the mystery to contemplate. And, you know, if we approach it with the spirit of a child, who wouldn't want their birthday to stretch out for 8 days?
Of course.
They'd love it. A cake every day, presents every day for a week. And the church is inviting us to have that same kind of spirit, both after Christmas and after Easter. Easter, particularly, since it's the highlight, really, of the liturgical year. It's the highlight of, or it's bringing to light the central mystery of the Christian faith, of our salvation through Christ and his passion, death, and resurrection. And so we began the octave. Yesterday continues through Divine Mercy Sunday, which is the second Sunday of Easter. Mm-hmm. So every day is celebrated with a higher level of intensity than a typical weekday. And then, of course, Easter season goes for 50 days up until Pentecost, when we celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit and the kind of the final constitution of the church.
You had mentioned that Divine Mercy Sunday is this next Sunday.
Correct.
So tell me how that's connected to Easter. It comes right after Easter Sunday.
Well, in a number of ways. One, it's the conclusion of the Easter octave.
Uh-huh.
So it's the eighth day of the octave of Easter. And, of course, it's a Sunday within the Easter season. And all the Sundays of this season, you know, focus upon the mystery of the Lord's resurrection. And then what follows from that, we have readings from the Acts of the Apostles. Typically, the first reading of the Mass is taken from the Old Testament, but during the Easter season, it is almost always, if not always, from the Acts of the Apostles, which is sometimes called the Gospel of the Holy Spirit.
And, of course, people noticed that when they were at Easter Mass, that the first reading was from the Acts of the Apostles.
Correct.
Yeah.
And And, of course, the Divine Mercy Sunday also has another kind of layer of meaning, thanks to Pope St. John Paul II, who in the year 2000 redesignated the second Sunday of Easter as the Divine Mercy Sunday, which was inspired in part by the revelations to St. Faustina Kowalska from Poland, to whom the Pope had a great devotion, and her writings, her mystical experiences regarding the mercy of God. The Divine Mercy Sunday, however, does not commemorate her private revelations, but it highlights the mercy of Christ as a central doctrine and truth of the Church. And St. Faustina's experiences help to emphasize that and kind of reinsert that into the heart of the Church's awareness. John Paul II made that kind of concrete in the Divine Mercy Sunday. And really, if we want to focus on something that flows from the grace of Easter, there's nothing more important than the mercy of God, forgiveness of sins, conquering of death.
So that's it.
That's the whole ball game.
Absolutely. And I know so many churches have an image of the divine mercy. It says, Jesus, I trust in you.
Correct.
Such a powerful image. And it's a reminder for us, like I said, if we call ourselves Christians, if we call ourselves followers of Christ, do we really mean it? Do we really put our trust in Jesus?
That's correct. And, you know, it's been remarkable seeing how our candidates and catechumens have found that to be a central attraction to the faith.
Mm-hmm.
The mercy of God, being able to have their sins forgiven, first in baptism and then the sacrament of penance. And, of course, having the great mercy, because all of the sacraments are merciful in the sense that they extend and communicate the grace of God to the believer to when they receive, you know, with faith, what is communicated. So the Eucharist is a sacrament of mercy, but particularly mm-hmm. baptism and the sacrament of penance, of confession, are the place where that mercy seems to be laser-focused. But all the sacraments and the Word of God itself, everything that comes from God is merciful because it's a sharing of his life to which we have no right, but which he gives so freely because he loves us.
Yeah. I want to go back. You had mentioned the Acts of the Apostles,
yes.
which is we're going to be, again, hearing about throughout this season, being the first reading when we attend Mass. You had mentioned that's the gospel of the Holy Spirit.
Well, sometimes it's been referred to that way.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not an official title the Church gives
right.
to the Acts of the Apostles.
But it certainly gives examples of how the Holy Spirit has gone to work in the disciples, the followers of Christ.
Correct, because it begins with Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
And then the unfolding of the effects of Pentecost in the lives of the apostles,
mm-hmm.
the great missionary activity that unrolled following Pentecost, the transformation of the apostles and the disciples after that extraordinary event, and how the grace of the Holy Spirit bore fruit in that first generation of apostolic work, continues to bear fruit in the Church today,
mm-hmm.
because it's the Holy Spirit, you know, who's active in the Church as the one who impels missionary activity. And speaking of that, I don't mean simply going someplace else to be a missionary, but to be a witness wherever a person is, in their home, in their family, in their schools, in their workplaces, whether they're a catechist in the parish in kind of a formal way, but every single Christian is called to give that witness and to treat their life as their mission territory, where they mm-hmm. can bring the graces and gifts of the Holy Spirit that have been communicated to them through baptism and confirmation to the world around them.
Very good. So, like I said, we're going to be celebrating Pentecost latter part of May.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, when we go to Mass during this kind of this Easter season, we're going to be hearing about what resurrection appearances. Is that basically kind of what Gospels are related to?
Yes. Well, certainly every day during the octave, we have a different Gospel reading from the various Gospels.
Mm-hmm.
regarding the appearance of Christ, the post-resurrection appearances of Christ. And it's important that we understand that these are not visions that people have.
Uh-huh.
These are visitations of the Lord in his risen and glorified body.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not as if someone had a vision of a saint that is somehow just a kind of projection in their mind that God makes visible to them or makes present to them. This is the Lord himself in his risen body. And it's important that we understand, you know, the resurrection at the ascension, Jesus doesn't shed his human body. From the moment of the incarnation, the second person of the Blessed Trinity has taken on human nature for all eternity. And so the Lord, the risen Lord in heaven, has his human nature and his glorified body, and he will have it for all eternity.
Mm-hmm.
And that when we receive Holy Communion, which is the body and blood, soul, and divinity of Christ, We're receiving not the dead Christ in the tomb. We're receiving the living Christ in paradise. So, yes, so the gospel accounts give us the various post-resurrection appearances of Christ. And there are, I think, depending on how you count them, 12 or 13 documented appearances that are related in the Gospels, the Acts of the Apostles, or in the one of the epistles.
I appreciate the fact that you had mentioned that it's the resurrected Christ physically, not just a vision, because the gospel writers, the evangelists, make it clear in the gospel that Jesus is physically touching people. He's eating,
yes.
He's joining with the disciples. So
right.
It's not just a vision. He's there walking with them. He is
yes.
among them.
And his nevertheless, despite the continuing presence of his person through his pre-resurrection, passion, death, and post-resurrection reality, after the resurrection, even physically, he has changed in a way that the apostles do not automatically, instinctively recognize him completely.
Mm-hmm.
There's something different in his resurrected body. We get a hint of that at the Transfiguration.
Yeah.
And so it's we'd like to know more about that. We'd like the apostles to kind of flesh that out a little bit for us, no pun intended. Mm-hmm. In what way was his body different? In what way did he appear different? I guess we'll just have to be good and hope that we can have that vision ourselves.
No doubt. It's very intriguing. If you were to read the Gospels, you're like, I want more. Tell
we
me,
always want
give
more.
Give me more detail.
Where are the footnotes?
Yeah.
Is there an appendix?
Yeah.
Now, we have the assurance that everything we need for salvation has been communicated through the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, through the human authors of the Scriptures. So we have divine revelation is complete. God didn't leave anything out that we needed for our salvation.
Right.
But there's still more we'd like to know.
That's true. We as human beings are always going to be asking questions until God reveals all to us. So.
That's correct.
Very good. Well, I did want to go back for a second, Father Barton, ask you about some of the vestments that we see clergy members wear during this time, because I remember during Lent we saw a lot of purple.
Correct.
And this past Easter Sunday, we saw what Chasuble's more kind of a gold, or I guess white and gold tend to be the colors.
The liturgical color is white.
Okay.
And for the Easter season, and typically a more ornate version of vestments will be used. Gold could be used. Silver could be used.
Okay.
Gold can substitute for any liturgical color on a major feast day, I guess, except for purple, because we can't really imagine celebrating an Advent or Lent with solemnity, a Sunday of Lent. But typically white is the color for Easter. White, which symbolizes purity, symbolizes new birth, symbolizes even kind of the Lord's own raiment that becomes brilliant. And it's fitting that, a parish, even a humble parish, can have a nice set of vestments that are set aside for those major feast days. They may use them Christmas, Easter, maybe one or two other days of the year. And I'm sure that was seen all over the archdiocese last Sunday.
Absolutely. You had mentioned earlier that we had a number of new Catholics entering the church.
Absolutely.
Candidates and catechumens. I had mentioned that earlier that His Excellency Archbishop Vasquez had welcomed all these new Catholics in our archdiocese into the church. You guys at St. Michael the Archangel were no exception, that you saw an increase in the number of candidates and catechumens.
Correct.
This year. Tell me about that, especially the Easter Vigil when you
Sure.
welcome someone up.
Well, a candidate is someone who's already been baptized and who is received into the church through profession of faith and confirmation. And then a catechumen is an unbaptized person above the age of reason. And last year we received 41 candidates and catechumens. This year we received 78.
So nearly double.
Almost double. What's interesting about it is that we have a large number of young men who are teenagers through their 20s, maybe early 30s, who have been seeking out the church. We run a program, an OCIA program, with some of the local Catholic high schools and St. Thomas High School and Strike Jesuit are the two biggest participants. We get a little sprinkling from some of the other schools. And these young men are attracted to the faith after they come in contact with it at the schools that they're attending. And in interviewing them, because I speak to all of them as part of their formation, they indicate one of three things. They almost all say one of these three things, and many of them say all three of them as the the attract what attracted them to the faith, and almost all of them will say the coherence of the Catholic faith. They will use that word.
Really?
That it's coherent, it's consistent, it gives answers. They're looking for answers. We live in a world that does not accept objective truth, and that is enormously confusing, especially when one is young. And people sense that's not quite right. There has to be some objective truth.
Mm-hmm.
And these men have found that the church has answers for them, has answers for their life. The second thing, and I find this very interesting, that they find attractive about the Catholic faith is apostolic succession, which means that they understand that the church has an authority that doesn't just rest on somebody's opinion, but is rooted in the apostolic teaching of the church. As one young man put it, I came to understand that Jesus established the Catholic Church, and how can you do better than that? Okay, can't disagree with that. And the third thing that attracts them is the Eucharist. They can be close, that close to Christ upon the earth. And it's been extraordinary that we've seen a number of young men last year and an even larger number this year, particularly through those two high schools, plus some other places as well, being initiated into the church, receiving most of their formation in their school, but together with some parish input and some parish help. And it's been quite beautiful. But almost all the pastors will tell you that there has been a real surge of young adults coming into the church, and a lot of young men in particular.
Yeah, they're definitely searching for answers. So
they are.
Appreciate that. For you, Father Bart, personally, what kind of feelings do you have when you baptize somebody into the Catholic Church, or confirm them, you know, getting them through this process? Is there a certain joy for you personally being part of it, certain humility in your being role as a priest?
All of that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, certainly it's joyful. It's certainly humbling that God would choose, you know, someone with so many flaws to be a priest, to impart the sacraments. The great reassurance is that it's God who's working. He's just using the priest to accomplish that. And we're grateful that we have been included in that way into God's design. But it's the Holy Spirit who does it. Mm-hmm. It's the Holy Spirit who baptizes, and it's the Holy Spirit who confirms. The priest is just the instrument we have to try to get out of the way so that God can do his thing. It's almost every parish priest will tell you that the sacred Triduum, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and then culminating with Easter, are the highlight of their priestly life. And very involved, takes a lot of energy, but it's always worth it. And it's very satisfying, especially to see so many people, you know, embrace the faith with such joy and conviction. And one of the things that's very clear is that, you know, sometimes people think the church is for old people. I would say, come to the Easter Vigil almost anywhere. The church is young.
They are.
The average age at the Easter Vigil among those who were baptized was probably in the low 20s in my parish. We had four children.
Wow.
All the rest were adults, and almost all of them were in their 20s, plus a group of these teenagers, and a few that were older. I think there might have been one person my age, 37.
Plus, 37 is that right?
37 plus.
37 plus, something like that.
Yeah. The church is young.
Yeah, that's incredible. That's incredible to think of so many people that are coming into the church. That's great to have individual examples like St. Michael the Archangel, where you saw that increase year over year.
And I'm sure some parishes had even more.
Absolutely, absolutely. Like I said, so many were reporting an increase again year over year. How incredible. So we'll continue to pray for all of them, maybe their family members, anybody that those new Catholics may touch in their lives and potentially bring into the church as well, even just by living out the Christian life as well. So again, many blessings to everybody there who's new to the church. So to wrap things up here, Father Bart, again, a lot of people are going to be, again, during this octave or, you know, in general, the rest of this month, the month of April, meditating on, praying on the resurrection mm-hmm. of our Lord, in many cases, his resurrection appearances. Any particular closing thoughts about that as we have a desire to draw closer to the risen Lord?
Sure. I would say, first of all, sit with the scriptures that recount the Lord's appearances and read them prayerfully. try to enter into them with the imagination. If there's one complaint that people make about prayer is that they're distracted. Well, we can use, that's a normal thing. That happens to everybody. The holiest person on the earth, whoever they are, is distracted when they pray. And I think the only person never to be distracted was the Blessed Mother, because she was totally focused upon God. So sit with the gospel accounts and the accounts in the Acts of the Apostles of the resurrection appearances of the Lord and all those things leading up to Pentecost, and do a little bit of Lectio Divina, as the fathers would call it, which is simply trying to imagine, you know, reading the scripture and then using our imagination to put ourselves into the scene, imagining what it was like, just like we were discussing earlier. What are some of the details? We'd like to know more. Mm-hmm. And we can use our imagination just to kind of imagine what some of the details of that scene would have been like, what we would have said, what we would have done if we had been a part of it, and then to try to draw some conclusion or some resolution or some insight from that. I think that's a very fruitful way to pray with the Word of God.
Very good. Amen. Lots of great advice there. Lots of opportunities for us to pray and meditate on the risen Jesus during this season. Father Bart Reynolds, St. Michael the Archangel Catholic Church in Galleria area of Houston. Thanks so much for being with us. Always glad to have you here.
Thank you, Brad. Great to be here.
Coming up after the break, we highlight Catholic education, in particular St. Pius X High School. Beth and Sean Jez, supporters of the school, will talk to us about the value of Catholic education. We'll be right back with more Catholic Lunch Break on AM 1430. Southeast Houston Cardiology is a proud sponsor of the Guadalupe Radio Network and enjoys great programming such as The Doctor Is In with Dr. Ray Guarindi. Southeast Houston Cardiology has been serving patients with heart disease and vascular disease with up-to-date care. Southeast Houston Cardiology has two locations, Webster and Pasadena. You can contact them online at southeasthoustoncardiology.com or 281-338-4004.
Cathedral High School invites you to Sacred Art Live. Mark your calendar for Saturday, April 11th, as faith-filled artists from across the country will bring their best creations to Houston. Sacred Art Live gives the public a chance to browse original works, prints, and merchandise that reflect what is good, true, and beautiful. Local students from Cathedral High School and Holy House Academy will also show off their original art pieces. For all the details, visit Cathedral High School's website and look for Sacred Art Live under events.
Deacon Glenn Trahan here, owner of the TRW family of companies and proud sponsor of the Guadalupe Radio Network. For 60 years, TRW has helped our clients to optimize the use of their facilities with operable wall products, creating effective, flexible, and acoustically controlled workspaces, making them more productive and successful. And TRW is committed to supporting ministries that also make our community and our world a better place, just like this Guadalupe Radio Network station. You can contact me at trwfamily.com. God bless.
Welcome back to Catholic Lunch Break, the weekly program where we talk about all things Catholic in the greater Houston area. This is Wyatt Goolsbee with you, and happy Easter to you and your family. Often we discuss how blessed we are in the greater Houston area to have so many great Catholic schools. That includes St. Pius X. The high school will soon honor a couple that continues to be active in their support of a number of local Catholic organizations and nonprofits. Joining us on the Guadalupe Radio Network is Beth and Sean Jess. They are going to be presented at St. Pius X Gala with the Del Sarto Humanitarian Award. Beth and Sean, thank you guys so much for being here. This is your first time in the KSHJ studio. It's a pleasure to have you guys here.
Well, thank you for having us. We're very happy to be here.
Yeah. We at the Guadalupe Radio Network love to support Catholic education. You guys are an advocate for Catholic education as well. You guys are also parishioners at St. Ambrose in Houston. And so I want to talk to you guys all about that, Catholic events that you guys have been involved in. But Beth, let me start with you and just get a little bit of background. You're originally from Houston.
Yes.
And product of Catholic education as well.
Yes. Yeah. I grew up here in Houston, went to St. Teresa's. Mm-hmm. For grade school, and then went to St. Pius for high school. So I'm an alum, and I grew up here, then moved to Austin to go to University of Texas, and we moved back here when we got engaged, and raised our family here, and then also had our boys go to St. Ambrose for grade school, but then also St. Pius for high school. So, yeah.
Very good. So, Sean, you had met Beth at UT.
That is correct. I did.
Very good. And so were you yourself raised in a Catholic family?
I was raised in a Catholic family. I was an altar boy. I was in the CYO, the Catholic Youth Organization. I'm not sure if they still have that anymore. I went to CCE, all of those fun things that Catholic boys do.
And where were you originally from? Born?
Sealy, Texas, or actually a little Czech community called Friedeck. Where I grew up, St. Mary's Catholic Church in Friedeck, Texas.
And your last name, Jez?
Jez Czech, yep. Jez, Yesh, however you want to pronounce it.
Very good. So you guys have been involved in, you know, St. Pius X High School activities because both your sons had gone there as well, Zach and Xander. So shout out to them. Tell me, Beth, let me ask you just about the value of Catholic education, whether it's, you know, at a grade school level like St. Ambrose or St. Teresa's or at a college prep environment like St. Pius X. Tell me about the value of Catholic education as providing a firm foundation, in many cases, for the rest of a person's life.
Absolutely. I mean, that's part of why we wanted to send our boys to Catholic schools. Was it's not just about the education piece, but it's about being a more well-rounded adult, you know, turning into an adult. So a child learning from the basics of, you know, how to incorporate God into your life and thinking about that in your personal decisions, whether that's, you know, what am I going to do about this test and how am I going to study or how do I treat the people at school, my friends, family, those types of things. And that's what you get, I think, when you're in a more well-rounded environment like that and you pray every day. Things like that I think are important to that foundation.
Yeah. Sean, I want you to talk a little bit about that. What do you think about the value of Catholic education?
I think it's very important just to kind of parrot what Beth said. I mean, it helps create a well-rounded individual, somebody that's going to be productive in society. He's going to do the right thing. And it's really what's important is it teaches you not to do the right thing around people when they're there, but it's what you do when other people aren't around. That's what's very important, and I think that's what Catholic education teaches children and the people that go through that system is it's important about what you do when other people aren't around and doing the right thing and making those right decisions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good. I had mentioned that you guys are going to be honored at the upcoming St. Pius X Gala, which is going to be on Saturday, April 18th. Really nice location, by the way, the Omni Hotel in Houston this year for the gala. So congratulations on you both being the honorees.
Thank you.
You guys have been to galas in the past, like for St. Pius X, so you kind of know the setup there. I wanted to ask you both about the community there as well, because St. Pius X is run by the Dominican Sisters of Houston. So, Beth, tell me about kind of your interaction with these Dominican Sisters. I can imagine it's just been a joy.
Oh, it has. It has. I mean, when I was at St. Pius X, their influence on, you know, me growing up and whether that was being involved in sports or that was volunteering myself during high school, practicing the faith within high school as well. You know, I think at the time when I was in high school, I didn't know, you know, Dominican sister, what was that? You know, they were just, you know, sister Donna, you know, sister Eloise, right? Sister Anne, you know, those types of things. But as I've grown older and learned more about like their background and what Dominican stands for and what their purpose is, I've come to appreciate, right, really what they have stood for. They were very much, in my opinion, open to, you know, people didn't have to be Catholic to be at St. Pius, right? All religions were welcome if you want to come and learn in this type of environment. I felt like we had a very diverse group of students there and of teachers. And so I like when I, you know, look back on that time, I felt like I had that experience of not only learning about my own personal religion, but then also others, you know, that are there, learning from other people and their cultures. So I really felt like that was the opportunity that they gave me. And I know that the Dominicans and learning more about what they stand for is that more welcoming environment. And that's what they create, that community.
Yeah. And I want to give credit to them for being around and being established here in Houston so long. You yourself are an alum, Beth, class of 89 for St. Pius X. Yes. So it's like I said, I think of the Dominican Sisters of Houston as, again, being a staple here. So it's great to have that. Sean, I wanted to have you follow up a little bit about that, your observations on the St. Pius X community. I had mentioned that, again, you guys have gone to galas in years past, other events, activities.
Right.
Your sons had gone through there. Obviously, they were involved in extracurricular activities. Give me just your overall impression.
My impression, it's a great community. Mm-hmm. It's a family-style community. You feel very welcomed when you're there.
Yeah.
You feel like, you know, that you've known these folks for a long time. The Dominican Sisters themselves are very welcoming. I got to spend a lot of time working with the Dominican Sisters on the school board at St. Pius. And I love every one of those sisters. They are always very welcoming, and I like what they stand for. Civil justice, the world that we live in, we have to get along with everybody. And mm-hmm. I think the Dominicans support that ideology, and it's very important for a productive society and for a happy community, so to speak.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, Sean, because some of the information that I was reading about here, you know, you guys are being honored for people who embody the Dominican pillars of prayer, study, community, and preaching through sustained service and generosity. So I'd mentioned the fact that you guys are involved with Catholic Things, St. Pius, St. Ambrose, but you guys have also volunteered to help out with a number of other nonprofits here in the greater Houston area. Mm-hmm. Beth, what all have you guys been involved in, whether recently or in years past?
Sure. I would say in years past, obviously with the Scouts, so Boy Scouts of America, both of our boys went through that, and our Eagle Scouts, we're very proud mm-hmm. of them. Mm-hmm. And so we volunteered while they were in that program. We were very involved, not only in Cub Scouts, but also in the older age in the Boy Scouts, and camping and organizing events and teaching, you know, the services and opportunities and life skills that the Boy Scouts provided us. We continue to support the Boy Scouts, or the Scouts, Scouting of America now, and mm-hmm. Provide support to them in our local chapter and things like that to help continue that well-rounded opportunity for boys and girls now to mm-hmm. be able to engage in that and learn things, life skills that maybe you just aren't going to go by, but you may need in the future.
It's also helpful, I'm sure, for your boys just to have Eagle Scout on the resume too. Just
it does.
In general. So. Sean, what else have you guys been involved in?
Well, I've been a member of the Knights of Columbus since I've turned 18. Mm-hmm. First out in Freedeck, and then I've transferred to the council here in Houston. Mm-hmm. Not as much involved as I'd like to be because of work activities, but I also worked at volunteered at the Oaks Dads Club, which is a nonprofit boys and girls baseball, softball, soccer program. I was part of that program for, you know, over 15 years, where I served as president for 10 years. I currently still kind of in an advisory role there for legal matters that they have, and have represented the club on numerous things. Mm-hmm. So we do that. We obviously are members of St. Ambrose, help participate in that. And mm-hmm. then, you know, our friends are involved in nonprofits and stuff, and we like to get involved and help in those things too.
Very good. Beth, just to follow up on that, how do you see that participating in nonprofits, giving of your time, giving of your effort, when you guys could do a number of different things, in some cases, self-sacrifice of your own time, mm-hmm. Money. How does that, do you think, connect to the faith or your own value?
Sure. Yeah, I think it certainly leads to, you know, what we were taught, or what I was taught. I'll let him speak. But what I was taught when I was younger, my parents volunteered. They were at my school. They were mm-hmm. helping. So they were examples, right, of that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, looking back and realizing their time and effort and how much that helped not only myself, but other people, other kids in the school, other communities, I wanted to continue to do that as well. And it is partially, there is part of it that it feels good, but then it's also just the part that it builds community. It helps other people. What can you do to improve the environment that you live, you work in? What are opportunities to give back? Whether that's your time, mm-hmm. right, your talents, what, you know, being able to go out and gather people together, leadership skills, or even, you know, giving of money and those types of things. It's all of those things.
Yeah, very good. Any follow up on that?
Yeah,
Sean,
I think it's very, very important to give back. Unfortunately, my parents were not as involved. They spent a lot of time working. My dad, left for work at 4:30 in the morning. And mm-hmm. By the time he got home, he was pretty worn out.
Yeah.
But I, seeing that, and he wanted to make sure that we had a good life, and so did my mom. But seeing that, I wanted to be able to give back, because my parents couldn't necessarily do that when I was growing up. And there were other people that, you know, volunteered to help out, and I saw that, and that's what I want to do. I know there are families out there now that they may not be able to put in as much time or effort because of their situation or their job or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, some people may do a little bit more, some people may do a little less, but I think it's important, if you can, to put in some time, a lot of time or a little time, whatever you can do.
Yeah, very good. I'm glad you'd mentioned that, because I know I'd mentioned you guys are going to be honored at the upcoming St. Pius the 10th Gala, and some of the, again, many of the proceeds from that gala help to provide some scholarships for students who need it, because I know people across the greater Houston area have attended and will attend St. Pius the 10th High School in the future. I wanted to ask you guys another question about being parents. I mentioned you guys have two boys. Yeah. They had gone through, you know, Catholic school system. I give a lot of credit to college prep Catholic schools like St. Pius, but I also admit these schools can be pretty tough. If you're taking AP classes, mm-hmm. honors classes, this is not easy. And it doesn't just impact the individual student who's going there. It's the whole family's involved. If that student is participating in extracurricular activities, if they're working on homework late at night, if they're taking AP classes or preparing for something else, mm-hmm. this can be tough work. Beth, what would be your advice for parents who, you know, definitely want a Catholic education but may not be prepared for everything that involves with a college prep, and kind of getting themselves wrapped around this notion that it is kind of a different life for a little while?
Yeah, it is. It certainly, I think what's helped us, or what helped us with when our boys were in high school, was, you know, it takes a village, right? So, I mean, like mm-hmm. we talked about, if you know, spending time and helping other people, you know, working out those communities that you have. And, you know, one day I'm picking up the kids, and next day our friend is picking up the kids, mm-hmm. you know, taking them to the games, taking them to practice, whatever that may be, or taking time to spend with them to ensure, you know, checking in on how school's going, how are your grades, those types of things. That I think that's the one thing about St. Pius that I really liked, was that you have that built-in community working with the other parents. You know, I think, answering your question about advice, build the network, right? I mm-hmm. mean, you just, and you have to be humble. You know, you need help. They need help. You're not in this by yourself, and you know, make that realization and be able to build the network of that community, and you give and they give and everyone helps. And I think that's how you build it out together. And
yeah.
So you're all successful.
Yeah. I think St. Pius did a wonderful job of preparing both of our boys for college.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. They both excelled at their college of their choice. The oldest, Sam Houston State, and the mm-hmm. younger one at University of Texas. They mm-hmm. both did well, made A's, and are now successful young men. So we couldn't have done it without St. Pius's support and
Absolutely.
Help.
And that seems like a good piece of advice too. Like, if you're working hard, and again, having that network of people, having that support, and you go through those and you participate in everything, it does set yourself up for success
mm-hmm. Absolutely.
At that next level, at the college level. I'll just say, on a personal note, I found that to be true. I'd gone to Strake Jesuit, and then when I went to TCU after that, I did feel like I was well prepared. I was prepared for the honors courses, everything else that I had to do, because I had worked so hard and participated in a bunch of stuff at the high school level. So I just want to emphasize that, especially as parents maybe watching this interview, or if this being sent around to the St. Pius the 10th community, if they're thinking about, you know, how tough is it? Should my child consider a college mm-hmm. prep environment?
Sure.
I think the important thing is to be prepared for that. I'm glad that you mentioned that. And probably, too, it helps to pray a bit, right?
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. I did want to ask you guys, by the way, speaking of prayer, if you guys have any favorite prayers or favorite devotions. Sometimes I ask people if they have a favorite saint or anything like that they like to go to. Beth, and I'll let you go first here.
Oh, favorite prayer. I think in general, when I'm asking and praying, I pray the Hail Mary.
Mm-hmm.
I think from a mother's perspective and helping and asking for support. I have probably a favorite song, hymn, is Be Not Afraid. Has just always been one that, when I was growing up, stuck with me, and kind of is that, not only be not afraid to be yourself, be not afraid to believe in God and in Jesus and share that with other people, be not afraid of what might come in the future, right? And so just that, building that confidence. It was a song that I wanted to make sure that was at my dad's funeral, because it was something like, be not afraid, you know, as someone goes in, you know, into the next step and into heaven. And so,
I love hearing that, be not afraid, when I'm at Mass, mm-hmm. whenever they play that. That's wonderful. Sean, any favorite or particular devotions, prayers, anything that you like, saints?
Well, I mean, St. Arnold is the patron saint of beer, so I think that's...
We do have a St. Arnold's. We do have a St. Arnold's brewery here in Houston. That's true. Yep, so, we got that.
No, I mean, I enjoy going to Mass, you know, and listening to the gospel and mm-hmm. listening to the priest or the deacon, whoever it is that we can mm-hmm. kind of do in the homily and kind of talking about it and kind of then reflecting upon, you know, things in my life and how does that apply to me or how can I change and do things better in my life because of those teachings.
So. Yeah. I think that's a great note because that applies to everybody. Anybody can come to church and listen to the gospel reading, listen to the priest or deacon. So I want to encourage people that if they're practicing Catholics like you guys, or maybe they haven't been back to Mass in a while, mm-hmm. to go and just listen in because everyone's always invited to Mass. So I love that example because it's easy. Anybody can come in and
that's
listen.
Right. And this Sunday is Easter Sunday. So all of those CEOs, as Father Hugh would say, the Christmas Easter onlys, now's a good time to get started.
Want to encourage people. You know, you got a good point there, Sean. A little bit of a joke, but you got a good point. I mean, it being the Easter season, we want to encourage people to come back and to be involved. That know they're always welcome. So hopefully, we can get that message out there, and you guys are helping to do that. So very good. Well, just to recap for people who want to know, we got the upcoming St. Pius X Gala. Again, it's going to be Saturday, April 18th at 7 o'clock. Great venue, Omni Hotel Houston. Yeah. You guys, of course, will be honored there. Lots of folks from across the greater Houston area in support of the St. Pius X community as well. Again, we'll put all that information online as well. Before I let you guys go, anything else that you want to say that I didn't ask either about St. Pius X community, Dominican Sisters, living in Houston, family shout-outs, anything like that?
I just want to say make an effort to get involved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't just sit on the couch and watch, you know, your next streaming service because there's so many of those now. But get involved, get out in the community and be part of it. Don't sit on the couch and complain. Do something.
Okay. Excellent. Beth and Sean Jess, again, Del Sarto Humanitarian Award honorees for 2026. St. Pius X High School Gala is coming up. Guys, thank you so much for being here. It's been a pleasure talking with you both.
Likewise. Thank you, Wyatt.
Thanks, Wyatt.
And thank you again for your support of the Guadalupe Radio Network and for listening. Until next time, stay Catholic, Houston.